we'll just pray for Peter before he begins. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peter, for his faith and his trust in you. And Lord, we pray that you will bless him now by your Holy Spirit as he speaks your word to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A number of years ago, the company I was working, I was an engineer in those days, we won the Queen's Award for technical achievement. We developed a special radio, and some of us were invited to go up to Buckingham Palace for a reception, and it was considered a great honour to do that, and in human terms it was. But I want to talk this morning about a much greater honour than that. The honour that comes in Hebrews chapter 4, we've invited to approach God at what the Bible calls the throne of grace. We're invited to come before God Almighty to the throne of grace. This is so much more an honour than going to Buckingham Palace. Why? For a number of reasons. First of all, it's not an invitation offered by an earthly ruler. It's invited by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The God Almighty invites us to come into his presence. What a privilege. What a privilege that is. Right. We're invited by the King of Kings. He can do all things. Good person to come into the presence of, isn't it? The other thing is that God invites sinners and unworthy failures. That reception I went to was for people who had achieved, and your companies have achieved, and that's why we were there. When we come before Almighty God, it's not because we've achieved things, but because we need him. We don't come as people that have great success. We come as people that need Almighty God. We come as sinners who have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We come as people who have probably made many mistakes all through our lives. We may feel we have not achieved anything. We may feel we have actually made a mess of so many things. God invites people who have messed up to come into his holy presence. Isn't that amazing? There's a story, actually, in one of the Gospels, a parable Jesus talked, about a king who made a royal wedding feast, just like we saw on TV a few weeks ago. But instead of inviting special guests, the important people, they went onto the streets and invited anybody they can find to come in to the wedding feast. Just imagine if that happened in Windsor Castle a few weeks ago. What would that have been like? That's the heart of God. Come in. Come. Come. And it's not just for a two-second handshake. We can stay at the throne of grace for as long as we need. We can pour out our hearts. In fact, the Bible says, pour out your hearts to God. Tell him what you're thinking. Tell him what you're feeling. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what you're worried about, what you're afraid of, what you feel you've failed in. We can thank him too for the wonderful things he's done, for the great love that he has for us. We can bring every single need we have to God, be it great or be it small. What an amazing, what a wonderful privilege. And it's not just a one-off event. We didn't just go to Buckingham, we only went to Buckingham Palace once, but we can come to this king whenever we want to, day by day, several times each day, many times each day, whatever we need. And the other thing that makes, I'm forgetting, David's been helping me get them along, come as long as we want, anytime, any day. The next one, God already knows us through and through. When we come to an earthly monarch, they've probably never seen us before, know nothing about us, and will never see us again. We come as strangers. When we come to the King of Kings, we come as someone who knows us intimately. In the opening, when the opening prayer this morning, it was God from whom no secrets are hid. God sees us. In fact, in that first part of that passage from Hebrews, it talked about God seeing right in. In fact, it's like we're naked before God. He sees right in, and not just our bodies, he sees right in to the separation of soul and spirit, to the details of our lives. He sees that and he knows that. Now, is that comforting or scary? Well, maybe it depends on our attitude to God and what we think and understand about God. Actually, we're coming to the God who loves us, and that's loving knowledge that he has. Not knowledge with which he'll condemn us, but knowledge with which he will help us to sort things out, to get things right. I don't need to explain myself to God. I just need to come and open my heart to God. That's what we need to do. God already knows. Now, one of the tragedies that's true for many Christians, maybe for all of us at times, is that we don't take full advantage of God's amazing invitation to come to him. Let's move on. Right, so what are some of the barriers that mean we don't come close to God? Let's have a look. And the first one might be it's not really a priority for us. There are much more important things we need to do. We'll come to God when we feel like it or if it's a real, real need. But maybe we don't come very often any other time. Maybe TV is more important, or a hobby we've got, or something else is more important. So that's one of the reasons why we don't come. It's not given a priority. Or we're too busy. When I work with Christians who are either in counselling or in pastoral work, one of the things I say to them is, what is your relationship with God like? And almost invariably, one of the things they say, or quite often they say, is, I know I don't pray enough. And sometimes I work with people, well, how can we help you to get into the presence of God more regularly, more frequently, more deeply? What would that look like for you? And people often say, well, the problem is I'm too busy. Actually, what I have found and other people have found is that when we pray and bring all our busyness to God, he helps us to work more efficiently. He helps us to work more effectively. In fact, a chap called Bill Hybel, a pastor in America, wrote this book. It's called Too Busy Not to Pray. I have read the book, but actually the title, I think, says the whole thing. I'm too busy not to pray. Because when we do pray and bring to God all the things that we've involved in, God can help us work better at them, work more effectively, so that we can really get more done because we pray, not less. Another thing is this. We think we're not good enough to come into the presence of Almighty God. In that Bible reading from Mark that we had, this woman who had this bleeding came and touched Jesus' cloak. She didn't want to do anything else. She may well have felt, I'm not good enough to talk to Jesus. Maybe I'll get a bit of power from him and that'll be sufficient. But Jesus wouldn't let her go until he'd spoken to her. This is an example. I want to speak to you. You matter to me. And that's what God wants to say to each one of us. You matter to me. You're important to me. Yet, you may have done many things wrong. This is a throne of grace. And what is grace? Grace is kindness we don't deserve. That's my definition of grace. Kindness we don't deserve. If we feel we've made a real mess of things and we don't deserve anything, let's come to God and find his kindness, his mercy, his grace. Before the communion service, there's a lovely prayer. I'm not sure we're using it this morning or not. It's something like this. We do not presume to come to this place, to this holy table, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. When we come to the throne of grace, we come because of God's mercy, because he really cares and he really loves us. Another reason we may not come is maybe we're out of sorts with God. Maybe God's not answered our prayers the way we wanted him to. Maybe we got a wrong attitude somewhere. Maybe there's someone who's hurt us and we're not willing to try to forgive them. We want to hold on to the anger and resentment. And sometimes we don't come to God for that reason. We got into a tangle, and our thoughts are tangled up, our attitudes are all tangled and all a mess. Well, all we need to do is come to God and say, sorry, Lord, I'm in this mess. I've got all these things wrong. I just need you to come and sort me out and tidy me up, and then he'll come. Another thing can be, we're too proud. Oh, I don't need God's help with this. I can do it on my own. I don't really need to pray. When I've thought that, quite often, things have gone a bit pear-shaped. I did need God after all. But God is merciful and gracious. In fact, what God says is, he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if we start to get a proud attitude, then that starts to block our relationship with God. That stops us coming close. God wants us to just come humbly before him, and he'll work with us. However skilled or experienced we are at things, we still need God's help. As some of you know, I work as a counsellor, and I try to spend every time before a client comes, I try to spend time praying with them, because I just know how much I need God to help me. And however much training I might have had, I still need God to guide me. I can't rely. In fact, I felt one time God was saying to me, don't rely on your training. Have the training, but don't rely on it. Rely on me. We need to rely on God. Another problem can be, we can't really believe that God loves us. And I've found this is a big problem for some of the people I'm counselling and working with. I can't believe that God loves me. Maybe all sorts of things have happened in the past, and we can't believe that God loves us. And I work with people on this, and sometimes I pray that God will give people a revelation of his love for them. And I've seen a number of cases when I've prayed that prayer with people, God has revealed something to them, maybe a vision about something in the past or just something, and they suddenly realize, oh, wow, God does love me after all. And that can be a real revelation. The Bible also says, taste and see that the Lord is good. In one of the Psalms, taste and see. try God out and see how he acts towards us in love. In that passage again from Mark that we read, Jesus, men had come to Jesus and said that the little girl's dead. And Jesus said, trust me and believe. And sometimes if we feel we're not loved by God, or God can't possibly forgive us for that particular thing that we've done, then the Bible says, taste and see. Or in Jesus' words in Mark, come anyway, trust me and come anyway. Actually, counsellors call this a behaviour experiment. We sometimes need to do a behaviour experiment to just try find out in practice that what we've been thinking isn't true. It isn't true we're not loved by God. God really loves us. Another problem can be that we're in rebellion against God. We're determined to go one way, but we know deep down in our hearts that God wants us to go a different way. And again, that can be a barrier to us coming into God's presence, coming and enjoying being there before the throne of grace. And the final one, we can't believe that he actually cares about this problem. Now, many years ago, in my work, I was working on engineer, as working as an engineer, I used to think, well, I could pray about church, I could pray about family, I could pray that people would become Christians, I could pray about all those things. I never realized that you could pray about work and about the details of work. Anyway, we were working on this radio, prototype radio, and it was working quite well. Then suddenly it stopped working. And for about a week, we tried everything we could think of to get this radio to work, and it couldn't get it to work. And I suddenly thought, maybe I could pray. So quietly at my bench, I just prayed, Lord, you know what's wrong. Please, would you help us? Within 24 hours, we'd solved the problem. At least we'd almost solved it. There was still one bit that didn't quite work well. So I sat at the bench and I said, Lord, you answered my prayer yesterday. Could you deal with this one as well, please? And sure enough, in a little while, it was working. God does care about the details of our lives. God cared about that. We can bring anything to God, big and little, and he will deal with it. So whether any of those things, those barriers apply to any of us, let's put them away and let's keep coming to the throne of grace frequently. But then how frequently? Well, in the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread. We don't say, give us this week our daily bread, or give us this month our daily bread, or give us this year our daily bread. Give us this day. And I believe from that, Jesus thinks, yeah, come to me every day for the needs you have for the day. Now, sometimes when people come and talk to me in counselling about quite complex problems in their work or this sort of thing, I say, well, what about spending some time each day just praying about all the problems, like I did at my work, about the problem with the radio, the problem with this, the problem with this difficult boss, the problem with this person in the staff who won't do what I tell them to do, this problem I've never really known how to deal with. Why don't we ask God specifically about all those details, and then see how God will answer? And it's amazing the way God does answer when we're willing and prepared to bring the detail of our issues to God. But there's another thing as well. Is our relationship with God a monologue or a dialogue? For example, there can be a temptation for this sort of praying. Whenever we have a need, we come to God and we tell him what we need. And if we have 10 needs, we come to God and tell him the 10 needs. And if you have 100 needs, we come to God and tell him the 100 needs. But it's a monologue. Now, is that the best way to come to the throne of grace? Isn't a dialogue better? That actually, we don't just come with a whole list of prayers and then go away. We actually come and we talk, we come to God, and actually we listen to him, and we talk with him. And because he's God, and we're not, maybe it's good to give God the first word. So it's good to listen to God before we talk to God. If there's time, now, not always, sometimes in an emergency we may just pray, and that's fine, no problem about that at all. But it's good to also listen to God, at least sometime in the course of our day, to spend time listening to God. And I find it's really helpful to, before I start praying and bringing my requests to God, which are often many and varied, first of all, to read the Bible. Open the Bible and read some verses from the Bible first. And what does that do? Well, first, that really gets me more in tune with God, because I start to look at the things that God is saying, the things that matter to God. And once I've listened to what matters to God, then often I find my prayer is deeper, is more focused on what God wants, is more focused in the character and nature of God. So as we read the Bible or listen to his voice in prophecy, however God might want to speak to us, we actually start to understand more what God wants and what God likes, what God cares about. And then our prayers can get much deeper, much more real, a much greater sense of being in God's presence. One of the problems of being monologue-type praying is that it can become very self-centered. Lord, I need this, I need that, 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 or my family needs this, or my best friend needs that. Now, those are great prayers, don't get me wrong. It's great to pray in those ways. But we also need to say, Lord, what's on your heart? Lord, what matters to you? Lord, what are you concerned about? so that when we pray, we're not just praying for what we think we want, we're also praying for what God wants. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," you see. And so as we read the Bible, we discover in more detail, what is God's will? What does God want? And the more we read the Bible, the more we can deepen that understanding of what God wants. And so this relationship with God at the throne of grace gets deeper, and gets richer. So practically, I think we need to deliberately set time aside for prayer and Bible reading. We usually manage to find time to eat in the course of the day. We normally manage to find time to sleep, even if it's not as long as maybe we would have wanted. And we also need to set time aside, I believe, to come into God's presence, to read his word, to listen to him, to speak to him. And our lives will be so enriched in the process. Coming to the throne of grace needs to be as much a priority as eating and sleeping. In one of the hymns, an old hymn, there are these lines, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Let's approach the throne of grace regularly, frequently, dialoguing with God and receiving God's blessing and sharing God's blessing with others. Amen.